get in, starting in Matthew chapter 1. You know, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the beginning of our New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. And how many know what the name of Jesus means? Anybody know what it means? The name Jesus, if you like, translate it. Anybody know? It means Savior. That's literally what his name means. Matthew 1:21 is what we're going to look at. And it says here, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, meaning Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're going to be talking this morning about how Jesus saves from sins. Notice it is sins plural. It's talking about even from your personal sins. Okay? People sometimes in churches always talk about, well, Jesus saves us from hell, but that's not actually what the Bible teaches. He saves us from sin and from sins, plural. And ultimately, the wages of sin is death. He is the Savior from sin. And so I'm going to be talking this morning about how he not only saved us from the penalty of sin, thank God, the sins of our past are washed away. But the cross is so much greater than that, so much more important than just dealing with our past sins. He's actually given us power to overcome future sins. We no longer have to sin. We've been given a new power source now that we've been born again in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been given the Holy Spirit as a power source to resist sins in the future. You know, many times Christians, they get gloriously born again, and then they start to kind of fade back into the things of the world, and they find themselves giving into temptation again and then again and then again. And they're crying out, oh, God, help me. God, I don't ever want to do that again. And then they do it again and again. And they find themselves, if they don't learn how to resist sin, they find themselves in a backslidden state. And I talked about that last time. And so we don't want to find ourselves there. God has given us everything we need to resist sin. Jesus is the Savior from sins. The power of the cross was not just in dealing with your past sins. It's also overcoming sin. We are free from the power of sin. Because when we were in the world, we were sinners in the world, we didn't have the power. We couldn't resist sin. It was our nature to sin. It was what we delighted in. But now, as Christians, we delight to do the will of our Father. So how do we live a lifestyle without sin? Understand, God has called us, the church, to be holy. All right? That means set apart, sanctified, set apart from the world. Now, that word holy has about a bunch of negative connotations because people have made holiness all about a bunch of external things and legalism. Okay, what God has called us to be is the holiness that is in this word. All right, not legalism, not a bunch of laws. If you're trying to be a law keeper, the Bible says you're actually going to allow sin into your life because the purpose of the law is to slay you. Okay, law keeping doesn't save you from sin. It just kills you when you sin. It's not about law keeping, all right? Hallelujah. It's about being free in Christ Jesus. How are we free? We're free because the truth sets us free. And it's not just any truth, all right? And I'm going to go through four steps here, or four things you can do to maintain a life of victory over sin, all right? So I'm going to show you scriptures. I would encourage you to write these down and go back and study these for yourself, okay? Scriptures to live a life victorious over sin. We are called to be holy according to the word of God. And so God has given us everything we need to do that. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. Well, God wouldn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do. God must have given us a way to do it. I want you to see that. That's so very important. God has given us the power to live victorious over sin. Glory to God. Before, we couldn't help ourselves, but now we can. We have a way. We have everything we need. And so we're going to go through those things that'll help us live victorious over sin in our everyday life. Hallelujah. John 8:32, and I'll read 32 through 36. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Well, the context is free from sin. Understand that sin is bondage. When you sin, you become a slave of sin. Jesus said that. You become a slave. Slave means you don't even have control of your own life. How many, when you found yourself in sin, is like, I don't even want to do this. I don't even have control of myself anymore. It seems like something else is in control. That's a bondage. There's habits, addictions, chemical addictions. We know, of course, alcoholism and drugs, and there's pornography and all these things that produce addictions in your very body, you know. And so Jesus has something that'll set us free from that. We can be set free, and we should be free. We are called to be free. We are not to live in the misery of these bondages. So we have to learn how to put our flesh down. Understand our flesh has the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But there's lust. What does that mean? That means there's strong desires in our flesh. When you became born again, you didn't get new flesh, right? You still have the same that you'll always have until you die or until Jesus comes back again. And so we'll always have to deal with this. We're always going to have to put down the flesh and live after the Spirit. Okay? If you live after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the what? The flesh. So we have to learn how to put the flesh down. And Romans 8:2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." Has made me free. Not we're going to be free one day. If you're born again, that's who he's talking about. He's talking to you. If you're born again, you have, past tense, been made free. I want you to get that. You need to believe this scripture. You have, or has, been made free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. It should be the normal life for a Christian to walk victorious over sin. Okay? It should be just normal for us to do this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so when we're tempted to give in to the flesh, how do we resist? We know we want to a lot of times. On the inside, we have this heart that cries out, "Abba, Father, I want to do your will, but why do I find myself falling back into this thing that has trapped me for so long?" I'm not talking about sinless perfection, by the way. I'm not talking about, you know, we're called to be holy, but that doesn't mean we're going to be as holy and perfect as God Almighty. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, but we are called to be holy, and there is a measure of holiness that we all can and should be walking in. All right? Again, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about how you cut your hair or if you're wearing jewelry or not or how long your dress is and a bunch of stuff that men have pushed onto the church and called that holiness. Okay, we're talking about what the scripture defines as holiness, which is simply set apart unto the will and the purposes of God. We're set apart to do his will. And of course, his will is to obey him and to do what he said, to not give in to the lust of the flesh. All right, so let's get into it. Let's, again, John 8:32, where I left off, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You need to believe that. The truth shall make you free. Now, what's truth? Which truth is that? Is it the truth that tells about this person begat, that person begat, that person begat? No, it's going to be some very specific areas in the Bible that I want to show you. It's not the begats, but there's some scripture that you should write down. This is one of them, though. The next verse, John 8:33 says, "They answered him, these are people speaking to Jesus, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered him, "Verily, verily, 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 I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant or the slave of sin." Okay? When we commit sin, we submit ourselves not to the will of God, but to the will of the devil. We become a slave of the devil. That's how it all began in the garden, the original sin. Adam submitted humanity, all of humanity, unto the rulership of Satan. Satan immediately became the god of this world. And so we see the consequence of that about 6,000 years later. It's been horrible, right? And so we need to, in our own personal lives, of course, make this choice to not submit ourselves unto Satan, but back unto righteousness and unto obedience. The context here, though, we see is sin. Now let's go on to verse 35. The servant, in other words, the slave, abides not in the house forever. If you're a slave of sin, you're not going to God's house. You're not going to heaven if you're going to live in obedience and let the devil be your Lord. Okay? But the Son abides forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How many know when you became born again, you became sons of the kingdom of heaven? You now are sons of God, and you have been made free. You need to see that you are already free in Christ Jesus. You have to believe that, okay? Don't go by your experience. Go by what the Word says. I am free, all right? Believe the Word. You have been made free. Now, how do we apply it? How do we live that out? Glory to God. When you accepted Jesus, your old man, the old person you used to be, was buried with him. You were co-buried with Jesus Christ. When he died, you died. Your old man died, all right? When he was on the cross, your old man was on that cross, dying. Then he was buried. And then when he was resurrected, a new creation, the Bible says, was resurrected. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, right? Glory to God. We were co-resurrected with him. So we were co-crucified with him, co-buried. The old man is dead and gone. There's a difference between the old man and the flesh. You still have flesh, but your old man is dead. That person that did all those things, dead, like they never existed. God will never bring up your sins again. That old man died. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about is what the work that he did in your spirit. You're a new creation created in righteousness and holiness, the Bible talks about in Ephesians. This is what it says about sin. I just love these verses. In Micah 7:19, you need to know this. It says, he will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. This is a prophecy about what Jesus did for us in the New Testament. He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You need to see that. The devil is always going to try to bring up, well, look what you did. Look how you are. No, all my sins were cast into the sea. That means they'll never be dredged back up again. They're gone, unseen, forever and ever. God's never going to bring them up again. Another great verse is Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he cast or removed our transgressions from us. Glory to God. You need to have that firmly established in your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so that is our obligation, and that's one of the keys, and I'll get to it in just a moment, walking after the Spirit. But the first step I like to give everybody is a pretty easy step, and it's just simply this: give up. Okay, what do I mean? Give up trying to do it in your own strength. Sometimes people think in my own willpower, well, I'm going to do this. Man, I'm going to beat this addiction. I'm going to beat this habit. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to get in there. I know I can do if I just put my mind to it. And they psych themselves up and think, yeah, I can do it. Well, let me tell you, you can't. And here's how I know. Jesus, God Almighty, was the only one that was able to do it. And he had to go die on a cross to make it happen. If God Almighty had to do that, you're certainly not going to do it with your own willpower. Okay, so first give up trying to do it in your strength. Obviously, we have another power source, and I'll talk about that, being the Holy Spirit. That's the key. I'll get there in a moment. But first, I just want you to realize, okay, it's not going to be your willpower versus the devil or your willpower overcoming your flesh. That's not enough. You do have to use your will. I mean, you have to be willing to do it. That's true. But it's not going to be your strength, okay? That's just the key to get us started. But the real main key I want to show you is right here. The main central thing I want you to walk away with, and don't forget, is out of James chapter 4. James 4, verses 6 and 7, and I'll read it in just a moment. But the way to beat sin is humility. That sounds funny, right? What do you mean humility? How does that help? Humility. But that's what James teaches us. And it's also in Peter. Well, let me read it and then I'll come back and try to make my point. He gives more grace. That's what we need, actually, is grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Who does he give grace to? It's the humble. All right, so how in the world does humility help us? It is everything. To me, is the central thing that we are missing is humility. Okay? Why? Because grace comes through humility, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's really how we got saved. We humbled ourselves and saw we were sinners, we were lost, and we could not save ourselves. And we cried out to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, gloriously saved us. We had a moment of humility and saw our worth was horrible. And we were deserving of punishment. So the thing is, that's also how we maintain the grace of God. So grace we sometimes talk about in the church as it's God's favor, and it certainly is God's favor, and it's a free gift, and it's a free unconditional gift, and it's just God's goodness that's freely given to you. But it's more than just favor. And so I want to show you something. These are people that know the Greek. It's the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia talking about God's favor. I want you to see God's grace is not just favor. God's grace is not just favor. It's power. It is great power. All right. Here it is. God's favor, there exists a relation of active power. It says, in God's favor, there exists a relation of active power. I'm talking about how to get grace. Grace is God's power to resist sin. How do we get it? Through humility, but we'll come back to that. I want you to see that grace is not just favor, it is God's power to resist sin. Back to this. It says, this use is very clear in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where Paul says, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me, labored more abundantly than they all. Grace is something that labors. It works. It's power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I want you to see that grace is not just favor. Thank God for favor, but it's more, so much more than just favor. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power, see the association of grace and being power. In other words, grace is the power. My grace is enough or sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, so Paul is getting this revelation. When I realize that I am weak, then I'm strong. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about humility. That's what I'm talking about in how to get grace to resist sin. When I realize I am weak, then I'm strong. That's when God's power comes up and helps me. But if I think I can do it, I can do it. I can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to beat this thing. You're not relying on God, right? You're relying on your strength. But Paul got the revelation of humbling himself to get the power. So I'll keep reading. It says, evidently, in this sense, grace is almost a synonym for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And there's little real difference between being full of the Holy Spirit and being full of grace and power. So a good definition of grace is favor, but it's also the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to resist sin. You're not going to do it otherwise. How do you get the grace? You humble yourself. You lower yourself. You get a revelation. I am not enough. I need another power source. I need you, God, to help me. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. That's one of his names. And you're aware, you know, there's different spirits in the Bible. Evil spirits, demon spirits. You know, there's the unclean spirit. What does that spirit make you do? It makes you become unclean. There's a lying spirit. What does that spirit make you do? It makes you lie. What does the Holy Spirit do? He helps you to become holy from glory to glory. It's a progression. It's not something you do one day and you're there. It's a progression as you walk and grow in the knowledge of God. All right, so he gives grace to who? Those that are humble. James 4, 6, he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, if you're finding yourself repeatedly going back to sin, you have a pride problem. You're lacking humility. Okay? That's a huge key. I want you to hear that. If you're finding yourself going back to sin over and over, there's a pride problem there. You're not relying on him. You need to humble yourself. Ask God for revelation of how weak you really are so that he can give you the power. Because he's waiting for you to give up and rely on him. All right. For time's sake, I'm going to keep going to the next step. But I would encourage you to write this scripture down and go. You're aware of it. It's Paul's thorn in the flesh, but that's where he got the revelation in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. All right, so that's the big one. If you don't walk away with anything else, remember, humility is the key to get God's grace, and God's grace is power to also resist sin. The third step or the third thing you want to do is resist with God's word. You're aware when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was being tempted by Satan, and Satan gave three temptations. And what did Jesus do? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You've got to know the word of God. The word of God is described as a sword. Okay, it's an offensive weapon. So when the devil comes with thoughts to your mind, you don't counter them with logic or emotion. You counter them with scripture. Say, in Jesus' name, this is what the Bible says. Shut up, Satan. But you have to know the scripture. You have to be a student of God's word to be able to actively and effectively resist the thoughts of the enemy. There are some things that you guys got to get out of your life. There are some things that the Holy Spirit has been dealing with. It says, that's not of me. Get that out of your life. There's scriptures that clearly say, don't do this, but you're doing it. Go back to the scripture. When Satan comes, say, no, this is what God's word says. He says not to do this. I resist you in Jesus' name. Get out. We sing about the name of Jesus, the name above every name, right? Hallelujah. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's an offensive weapon that destroys the thoughts and the evil intents of the enemy against our minds. So, number one, give up and trying to do it yourself. Number two, humble yourself to receive grace. Number three, resist the devil with the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. Not only that, but the word of God, when you fill yourself and become a student of the word, it gives you power where you're not tempted nowhere near as much as when you were ignorant of God's word. That's really what it's talking about in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to the word of God. We will cleanse our ways by taking heed. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just knowing the word. We have to actually obey the word. Be not just hearers, but doers. So it's great to read your Bible, but then you have to make the choice. I'm actually going to do the things I'm reading. Great to come to church. And when you hear the word of the Lord, it's wonderful, but you have to make the choice, I'm going to do what I'm hearing. So take heed according to your word. So get filled with the knowledge of God's word, but make that choice constantly to say, I'm now going to do it. I'm going to live this thing out. And again, not in your own strength, but relying on the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Psalm 119:11, I have hid thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. The word in itself has power, the power to resist sin. Be filled, fill your heart and your mind with God's word, and you're going to be well able to resist the devil when he comes with thoughts and temptations. Okay? So again, the power is there. It comes through humility. Fill yourself with God's word. And the fourth thing is, out of Romans 8, 13, it says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But," hallelujah, it says here, "if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." What does this word mortify mean? It means to make dead, to put to death, to slay. I'm showing you the Greek here. To deprive of power, to destroy the strength of. But the key here is you mortify the deeds of the body. Again, your will is involved. You have to make the choice to do it. But you have this new power source. What is it? Again, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body. We now have this power source of the Holy Spirit. And it's not like you'll just feel this shaking power come upon you and you know, the devil runs away or something like that. No, the power of the Spirit means that you'll obey God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when the Spirit says, you know, do this or do that, and you're sensitive to that, you're going to see your whole life become a whole lot more free from sin. Even if the two things are not related. Hey, maybe stop watching so much TV. Not that you're watching something sinful. It's just maybe you're watching too much. Or stop with so much social media or this or that. Just say this to this person. Go up and say something to them and encourage them. Or it has nothing to do with this area over here of maybe a habit or a sin, but it's a life of being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. When you're led by the Spirit, He is the helper. He is the one that helps you mortify, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Again, lust means the strong desires. So you are, all Christians are supposed to be living a life of victory over their flesh, over sin and temptation. But again, you do have to make that choice. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it for you. You make the choice, and the Holy Spirit helps you, empowers you, gives you that grace to make that happen. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Romans 6:14, and I'll be closing with this. "For sin shall not have dominion over you." This is the life of every Christian. Sin shall not have authority and dominion and dominate you. "For you are not under the law, but under grace." And there's that word again. You're under grace, not just, you know, favor, but, and thank God we are under favor, God's favor, freely given to us. But it's also power. You've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to see that you're not in this alone. God is in you, with you. Greater is He that's in you, right? He is with you, helping you to live this victorious life. You're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with His power. How do you do it? One, give up trying to do it in your strength. Two, humble yourself to receive the grace. Number three, become a student of the Word so that you can resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, and four, crucify the flesh. Crucify, put to death the lust of the flesh with the help of the Holy Spirit, which means a lifestyle of being sensitive and obeying God. Not just hearing words, but living a lifestyle. And you'll find the stuff of the flesh will just fall off. The stuff that you were dealing with a year ago, you're not going to deal with today. You might have some new stuff, and the Holy Spirit's always moving us closer to Jesus, making us more sanctified, more holy, progressive in our walk with God. But the stuff that you were dealing with a year ago will be gone. New stuff will come up, and then a year from now, that'll be gone. And it's continual, progressive. Hallelujah. Did you all get that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close. Glory to God. We thank God for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit, and the power of the cross. It wasn't just for sins in our past. Thank God that's true too. But it's also power for the future, to resist sin. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for sending Jesus and the power of the cross that has delivered us from sin. Jesus is the Savior from sin, past, present, and even future. Praise God. We thank You for the grace as we humble ourselves and realize we cannot do it in ourselves. We need your help. Holy Spirit of God, help us to humble ourselves. Get a revelation of our weakness so that we can repent and rely on your strength. We choose to resist sin with the word of God in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise and glory for delivering us in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, I'll meet you guys in the lobby if you want to go next door.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Thomas, for the word of God that you gave to us this morning. You know, it's always a challenge because we are human and we have our missteps and things like that. But when God sends us a word of encouragement and correction at the same time, we have to take heed to it, right? I find myself running back to the Lord on all my faults, but the key that we were given this morning is something that we can carry with us, and I know for sure I'm going to carry with me. Humble before the Lord, because when we receive his power, those things begin to fall off of us. Amen. If you haven't given already, please take the time to do so. Don't forget our campaign of reaching the local citizens that are close to our church as well, too. Thank you for being with us by webcast today, and thank you for being out this morning. Drive safely home. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.